Is zombie takeout a good idea?
Oh, one more might kill me.
For the robot. Welcome to episode 246 of Zombie Takeout.
Zombie Takeout.
The B-Moving Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've got a little bit of listener submitted. This is again from John Phillips. He posted this on the trailer for last week's episode because he posted it before I got the episode. Well, at least before I posted the episode on Facebook. Because I put the episode up in the middle of the night and waited till the morning to put it on Facebook because no one was there in the middle of the night.
Right.
But apparently John managed to listen to it before I actually put it on Facebook. So he posted this on the trailer. He said, minor correction. Steel Wheels was 4 years after this. It was a dark period for the Stones, one album and no touring from 83 to 89. So he just corrected us because we were saying that Legend was around Steel Wheels era for the Stones.
Yeah, I think so. We were off by a few years.
And it was close.
Stones history,
I am not a Stones fan. I don't own a single album. I like maybe three songs. So for me, that was damn close.
I think that's a little post Harlem Shuffle, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong.
Possibly, yeah. I don't remember what album that's on.
I don't know either.
Yeah, like I said, not a Stones fan. So
he is right, though. A dark era for the Rolling Stones.
The fact that I got it within 4 years is pretty impressive. Anyway, on to this week's movie, which is from 2010, Time of Eve. Of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Asimov's Three Laws of Robotics. They're not just a good idea.
And also brought to you by Evelyn Coffee. Coffee to some, motor oil to others.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's see how I do with this this week here.
I should point out we're going back to anime with this one.
But this is pretty straightforward anime here.
This isn't the weird, trippy stuff that we've done in the past.
They even categorize this as kind of a romantic movie on Netflix, on IMDb.
Hint at some possible romance, but doesn't really happen in the movie.
All right, so we have these two kids. One has, well, it first you think one just has a robot servant, and that he's kind of special having this robot servant, and a little weird. In fact, where you think that he might be uncomfortable when she calls him master in front of others. But then you realize that is just the state of things between humans and androids.
Well, it opens actually with the lines, I don't have these in my notes, I'm recalling from memory. In the near future, probably Japan, robots have been in household use for some years, and androids have just started to start being used.
But you gather that, you know, he's a little close with her.
Yeah, he's not comfortable with the master-servant relationship.
Right. And, you know, when his sister comes into the room, you kind of gather that, you know, you're first wondering if she's going to call him, you know, master in front of her, you know, if that was just something they did in private. Mm-hmm. And then you realize that was just
that.
The way things were with androids and humans. And, so they, he's checking out her movements for some reason and has this weird message in there called enjoy your time at Eve.
The first time you see the two of them together after this short scene in an office, which only really makes sense if you've seen the movie already. She's sitting there with holding her shirt up and you see her electronics in her stomach. He's got a cord from that to his phone and he's taking her log basically. I guess it really is where she's been.
Yeah.
And the line comes up and I'm quoting this directly. I should say I've seen the movie. This is the third time I've also seen the series that it's based on, and I'll get more into that later. I've seen that once, so this is the fourth time I'm seeing the story.
Plot summary is going to go on entirely too long, though.
You
gotta let me summarize.
I just clarifying.
We can't do the whole movie in the plot summary.
The line is, "Are you enjoying the time of Eve?"
Okay, so
it's kind of the tagline of the whole movie.
so he's wondering, you know, what would have brought her here? What was it? You know, is she malfunctioning? And, well, he gets his friend, who you first think does not have an android or robot of his own at home, but later find out that he does. I don't know if that's really a spoiler or not, but it's
a little bit.
Yeah.
We you know, it's
they hint at it throughout the movie anyway, like clip brief cuts.
And this is our usual, you know, spoilery review. It's particularly with the ending, because we really can't talk around the ending.
Yeah, there is no talking around the ending here, because, well, we'll get to that in a bit. So he finds out that Time of Eve is a cafe where androids are free to live, pretty much, without the circle over their head indicating that they are, in fact, androids. They can live as humans, interact with humans, and humans can, vice versa, interact with them.
Yeah, the Time of Eve has one rule. No distinguishing between humans and androids.
There was some...
There was more text on the sign, but that was
I hate to use the R word, but it's the only way I can think of this one review on IMDb that was like, this'll never happen! They'll never have you where you can't tell. And it's like, really, dude? What the fuck? Are you serious? Of course, they could probably make one now if they wanted to.
They're not there yet, but tell.
No, it's, but they like give them 20 years.
And this is not, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but this is not one where I'm going to nitpick the science, because it's really not the point.
Right. Exactly. Oh yeah. Exactly. This is not a forecast into the future.
The science might be a little dodgy here and there. I don't
this
care.
This is more about our past than our future. This movie.
In a lot of ways, yes.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of how much to divulge here.
Yeah, the Time of Eve has one rule. You can't distinguish between androids and humans. It's basically a place for androids to go where they can just be people.
Yeah, he mingles with most of the usuals in the cafe. Pretty much gets most of their stories and just learns how convoluted some of their lives are. I mean, pretending to be human, you know, to each other, you know, androids, and no one really sure of what the other one's doing. They make it so when someone leaves, you cannot follow them for a certain amount of time.
I think it was 15 minutes. The door locks and you can't leave after someone.
Right. So you can't follow anybody to find out where they are or just meet them in the outside world and order them around or whatever, or find out if they are an android.
It's to maintain anonymity.
Yes, yes.
Or to attempt to, because it's that anonymity is, what's the word I'm looking for? It is compromised at one point.
It's compromised all over the place, because some of these people are servants to their friends. And they see them in school, and you know, there they are with their, you know, circle over their head, all sad and stuff, and it really gets into Rikuo's friend, Misaki. His father has been on this anti-android crusade for what seems like at least a decade. I'm sure there's details in, like, the series or something on that.
There's not really that much of a difference between the series and the movie, just a few scenes here and there.
Oh, okay.
It's hinted that the Ethics Committee, which is the anti-android group, kind of started off as a terrorist group.
Yes. Yes, and you kind of... There's a lot of weirdness there, because his father gets a divorce with his mother, and I don't know if it's just if it had anything to do with androids.
Well, no. Happened is
their
house robot, and in this case it is a robot because it's not humanoid, is telling young Misaki that his parents are splitting up, and
right.
You know, he's trying to explain it to him and comfort him. Misaki's father overhears this. And that's the problem with androids, or that's the problem he has with androids, because a robot spilled that information to Misaki. He didn't have control of the situation. So
Oh.
he orders the robot to never speak to his son again, and he and I you don't know if that was the start of his anti-robot campaign or if he was already anti-robot, but at least that's what started Misaki's
Yes,
story.
young Misaki, his hatred of androids and robots or artificial life in general stems from that because you take his mother away and then you take his
Confidant away.
other companion away, and oh,
The kid's going to be a little bitter.
yes, and kind of confused as to what happened to the mom, why the mom wasn't in the picture,
Oh,
but there
yeah,
are.
all we find out is that they got divorced, and presumably she'd already moved out by that point.
Right, so there's a little weirdness there. Like, what?
The reason for the divorce isn't really the point. It's like, there's dodgy science, but it's not really the point. The reason they got divorced isn't really relevant.
They could reveal that in the
Could
future.
have, but
That could actually have very much re have a relationship to what's going on here.
yeah, if they had chosen to work that into the end, his father's anti-android sentiment, yes.
But then again, I guess I'm almost at the hilarity ensues part, but I mean, I guess I can finish up. His group was going to target a bunch of places that they were looking for gray areas to hunt down places where androids or artificial intelligence are acting
Gray
inappropriately.
zones are areas that are skirting the laws, not
Yes.
explicitly breaking them.
So, and of course, the cafe was on the hit list, and they sent one of their
Spy
androids
androids.
over. What's that?
Spy androids.
They're spy androids. They're turncoat androids. Which, I mean, would have just been great if the robot just like, fucking get out of here.
Well, he kind of did.
Well, he tells them he's in violation of law, and this is, of course,
This is the
Misaki.
first time Tex Misaki's robot has talked at all, the way that he's heard, in a
Yes,
decade. So,
right.
Misaki has wells up with all these emotions about it and finally can talk to Tex and tell him, how he feels, and they can square all that out while this spy android is sitting there just kind of frozen, not knowing what to do. And then, Misaki holds him back before he can run to keep Tex talking.
And
And
hilarity
yeah,
ensues.
with a great gag right at the end of that scene.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, I've seen this 3 times. I first saw it at the end of April when the DVD, or I should say Blu-ray, was released, the international release. They showed it for a weekend on this anime site, Crunchyroll. It's the first time I saw it. Watched it twice in that weekend, then watched the series the following, like Monday or Tuesday. There are slight differences of scene here and there. The beginning is different. The series starts with Rikuo, getting the log from Sammy, his robot, his
Is
android.
it different animation between the series, or is this just an edited version of the
They
series?
just took the series, edited it together, pulled a few scenes from the series, added a few scenes. They added a beginning scene. The scene in the office wasn't in these series.
Okay.
And they changed the ending, which was interesting because the initial ending just shows Ryuko's sister,
Yeah.
Rikuo, I'm going to keep screwing his name up, shows Rikuo's sister just kind of being more, treating Sammy more humanly. She puts a flower in her hair. It just kind of hints at
Oh.
a change in the landscape. The ending of the movie, which, if you see this, I highly recommend sticking through the credits, watch the credits,
Yeah.
watch the animation, not animation, but watch the stills that show during the credits. They explain the backstory of the cafe. And there's a very important scene afterwards that kind of puts it all together.
Well, yeah, like without that scene after the credits, there isn't entirely enough of a payoff in the movie itself. You really need that scene at the end because they bring up the I can't remember his name. He's just mentioned a few times, the creator.
Shiotsuki.
Yeah, they mention him a few times throughout the movie, but they don't say who he is or what, And you don't see him until after the fucking credits, and you still don't see him.
Again, having seen it three times, there's enough to pick up who he is. He's the guy who created the AI that gave the android sentience, is what I've put together.
Right.
And then you could argue whether or not he's an android. I think he's a human who just has some robot parts.
Yeah, that's what I was gathering too. He's
Yeah.
a human who, I mean,
He
that's.
there was it's about 15 years before the series, or before the movie, or whatever, either one. I'm getting that's also confusing. There was a terrorist incident referred to as the Tokisaka incident, where a robot was damaged, also a young girl was injured in the pro in the attack itself. It's implied that Dr. Ashimori, who you see at the in the scene at the beginning and at the end, who's sitting at the desk, was involved. You see a brief shot of her swinging a pipe in one of Sammy's flashbacks. But there was this big terrorist incident, and you find out that Nagi, the bartender, well, I almost said bartender, but what's the word, barista
Barista.
at the cafe, was the little girl who was injured, and her father is Shotsuki, who created the code life, which is what gave the android sentience. So basically, they created the cafe as a way to mend relations between humans and robots.
Right, and they implied that it was his third attempt
Well,
at
yeah,
this.
there have been a couple outdoor ones, and it was kind of mobile up until this current cafe. And just again, rolling back to the beginning, now that we've explained the ending, so you kind of don't need to watch it, though I would recommend that moment where Rikuo remembers the formality of how he has to ask the questions and interact with Sammy, really kind of sums up the class difference. Because at first he's talking to her, as he would any other person, and he catches himself and he has to word it very specifically. And again, having seen it multiple times, I know that she would have understood perfectly if he had said it just as he would to a human. But the laws say he has to say it in this specific, stilted way as if he's talking to a machine. So it just really sums up, that they are treated in a very specific way, the androids. And they're definitely treated as others.
Which, I mean, what I was saying before about this not being the future, because, I mean, it's clear that.
This is a bald-faced civil rights analogy.
Exactly. This is, about, human, in slavery, I mean.
This is slavery. This is the civil rights movement of the 60s. This is the gay rights movement of the present. This is all of it.
I mean, the ring over the head is, the shackles. And, really, it's more that speaks back to the slavery part, because there was the whole,
In a sense, yeah.
do they even have souls?
Right.
I mean,
And
you're treating them like they were a person.
the time of Eve is basically a speakeasy.
Yes, very much so. People get drawn in and not even aware how they got drawn in. Which, I mean, why Rikuo was confused as to how he got drawn in is beyond me,
He
because,
was following Sammy.
right, they left the message in Sammy's movements knowing he would see it.
And I love how they spread the word to the other androids. And it's, again, something you have to see it multiple times to pick up on. The android who walks in right before the boys do when they get there, he also shows up again later saying, "Master, I'm home," and then you see a shot of an empty desk. And then you see that same desk again at the end with Shiatsuki sitting at it. So that's Shiatsuki's android, who is spreading the word. He's the one that they're talking about in the beginning. He's the one who's spreading the invitation, basically, to the cafe.
Okay. So there's this childlikeness to the whole thing, though. I mean, about how we're going to treat androids in the future. I mean, 'cause let's be honest. The first thing we're going to do with these androids, once they get that lifelike, is pretty much the first thing we've done with the internet. It is all going to be about busting a nut.
There will be that portion of it, yes. And they don't talk about it in this because they wanted to keep it G-rated, but I'm sure that portion exists in this universe, were it an actual universe.
Well, I mean, they acted like that was the furthest thing imaginable. They acted like holding an Android, like keeping an umbrella over an Android was out of the question, or holding a hand, or anything.
Or maybe they've been through that, but the ethics committee kind of squelched it all and kept it.
There's no way. It's like they would try to stop that with the internet. It just, that's going to be some Android's primary purpose. It's a matter of fact. There's just no avoiding it.
And the other thing that we will do, which they do talk about in this, is we will put limiters on them. Restraining bolts, to use a Star Wars term. We will
You think
make damn
so?
sure they can't hurt us because they're smarter and stronger. They will kick our asses. Which, if you haven't seen, I'm not a big fan of The Matrix, but the Animatrix, if you haven't seen that, the backstory on how that universe came to be, love that.
Well, it is obvious, like once androids are sentient on their own, there is no need for us anymore. Once they can figure out how to fix themselves and create more of themselves, what is our purpose anymore? Except take up food and destroy resources.
Which is where Asimov's Rules of Robotics come in. This borrows them verbatim, which I think was a very nice touch. This is basically a cross between iRobot and Electric Sheep.
And wasn't Misaki's robot really called THX?
His actual designation was THX, which I love that reference.
Course.
And when and like the first or second day they're at the cafe, Misaki is kind of staring at this one guy who he doesn't know if, he's a robot or not. And the guy's reading a book and looks up and says, "Can I help you, Blade Runner?" Loved that too, because Blade Runner was based on Electric Sheep. Yeah, loved those references, particularly because, it's so close to Electric Sheep. And THX was just a great random reference to throw in, because even though it was Lucas, a lot of people don't know about it.
So would Sam be Harrison Ford and Ralph be Rutger Hauer?
Nice. Now, I was glad that they gave away that Akiko was a robot as quickly as they did, because in the scene before, they kind of give it away with her reaction to Misaki's questions. He's asking her if, she has a home robot, and she does this speech about how she wants to learn to understand them, as she puts it. You assume at the time she's talking about robots, but she wants to get closer to them because they're her family. Next scene, they see her in school with the ring over her head.
And then like figuring it out, wait a minute.
Well, because it was so obvious that she was a robot in that scene that if they had waited any longer, it would have been a bit of a letdown.
And it was just about flipping the world, that he wasn't a human trying to learn about androids. It was an android trying to learn more about humans. And yeah, the flip is the movie. It's what the movie is all about.
It's putting a human in an android's world and watching them try to get used to it. And I love that Rikuo didn't immediately adapt. He fought it. And I gotta say, normally I get a little annoyed with all of the high school anime, high school age kids in anime. It's because that's the big demographic. And I'm very relieved when I occasionally run into an anime that's all adults. This is a case where I think they were put at that age for story reasons.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
They could have been, in college, they could have been older than that. They were put in at high school age because that's an age where you're starting to open up to new ideas, but you're still indoctrinated.
Yeah.
So when you get confronted with something that completely changes your world, you're gonna fight it. If they were college age, they wouldn't have fought it, or Rikuo wouldn't have fought it as much. He would have adapted faster. And if they were older, they would have been just too indoctrinated to even deal with it. But yeah, I like that, when he first sees Sammy in the time of Eve, he grabs the hair tie.
Yeah, that was weird, because it was kind of like,
Well,
what's he
because
doing?
she doesn't wear that at home, and he wants to see her. He basically, I think he did it to make sure it was her, or to just, kind of establish dominance. You will not wear your hair like that. Because that's something she does when she's out. Also, loved the awkwardness of the scene when the boys were talking to Koji and Rio.
Oh, yeah, that was.
Inagi, the barista, tells them to mingle and, get to know people. And they're sitting with this couple, Koji and Rina, and they're trying to make conversation, and it is just hilariously awkward.
And just the whole crazy story of the two, pretending to be, they're both pretending to be human to each other.
Well, they're both androids.
Right.
And I was very surprised when they revealed that Rena was.
I knew, because the way
Okay.
she walked.
But eventually you find out that she's an android, and Rikuo assumes that Koji is her master.
Yeah.
You find out later that that's just him making an assumption, and then so we get her story, then we get Koji's story to Masaki.
That was the interesting part of it. The assumptions that followed, I mean, the little bit of information they got, oh, so it must be a master and his android just, sneaking off to this cafe so they can act like, a normal relationship. But
No.
why would they be able to do that in the privacy of their own home?
Rina is a bodyguard. Koji, they don't specify what he does, but he is being used as a sex surrogate by his master. They're both androids.
Right, and they acted like that was just so far-fetched and crazy, and I'm just sitting here like, are you serious, dude?
Although I did like the reaction when they're comparing notes afterwards, because they got their stories individually.
Right,
And the
right.
boys are comparing those afterwards. I love the shocked expression when they put it all together and realize that they're both androids.
Pretending to be human to each other.
And bear in mind their age and how this is completely changing their world, so they're not going to make that assumption automatically.
Right.
Also, I really liked Rina's speech about how she has to suppress her higher functions on her job because she's probably not going to live long. So she doesn't, indulge in things like emotion.
Yeah, that whole, I mean, if they have the directive not to harm themselves, though.
Except if they're defending a human.
Yeah.
That's how it gets around it. Because she's defending her master. Also, after at the end of the scene when they, first they, when they find out their backstories, Rico's making this gesture like, we should get out of here, leave them alone, and they actually subtitle the gesture. Loved that. Because he's not like sign language or anything. He's just saying, hinting, we should take a walk, and they subtitle it.
I didn't see a subtitle version of this out there. I only saw the dubbed.
Well, that's what I was watching. It was the dub, but they
Yeah,
subtitle
that
all
just
the
that one
text,
scene was subtitled.
and they subtitle all the text, of course.
Yeah, which was hard to read, like that sign in the beginning. They're on it so quickly, and there's
That's why there's a
just.
pause button.
So, yeah, I had to go back like three times to get it. At the beginning, the soundtrack was a bit distracting. The whole, like, you're in the cafe now kind of theme.
That music cue whenever they walk into the cafe. Now,
Thank God they stopped it in, after the first three or four times, or else it would have been
it did get a
annoying.
bit monotonous. There's a couple other cues, but also bear in mind this was a series that aired over 3 weeks for the first half, took like 6 months off, and then aired for over another 3 weeks. So when you spread it out, the music cues don't get that monotonous.
Well, really, we've just been in the first couple episodes, probably.
Yeah, that's true. In the first half,
Yeah.
yeah, it did get a little monotonous in a movie, though, where you're watching the whole thing.
My favorite part of this whole movie, without a doubt, is when the old robot
Catamaran
comes
scene, yes.
wobbling in.
Yes.
Like, this Commodore 64 of androids just comes like in. What is this?
Old, decrepit, barely functional robot, clearly a robot. I mean, he's humanoid, but he doesn't look in any
He
way
was
human.
very similar to the robot from
Yeah, he looked a lot like Bender now that you mention it, you're
Futurama,
right.
actually. Yes. Just a decrepit version of that, just kind of taking no hint or just, I mean, socially clueless.
Well, he's decrepit, he's old, and he's also damaged.
Right.
Because you come to find out that instead of paying the fee to have him taken away when they got a replacement, they just scratched off his number plate, deleted his memory selectively, and threw him away, which is why he's as damaged as he is.
Yeah, and so, I am 8 years old.
And he tries to pass off as a human, even though obviously it's absurd that he is.
Yeah.
And the boys are trying to play along
Follow the
and say,
rules of the cafe.
trying to play along and say, yeah, you could be 8 years old. There's another customer here who's not even 8 years old. Who is this tiny little girl? And then she shows up and he says something along the lines of, how could I pass for 8 years old if she's 8 years old?
and his insistence on drinking coffee, to which, of course, why wouldn't you be worried that the whole thing was just going to blow up on
Hence
you?
our intro this week.
Yes. So yeah, priceless scene.
And I have to admit, I got very emotional at the end when he died. Or ceased to function, however you want to put it.
Yeah.
Because he said, you know, please remember my name. And he, even though he couldn't say his own name because that part was deleted. Although, in the beginning of that scene, we see this drawing that his master made, or who, you know, the boy he was ordered to, you know, take care of, you know, had made of him. And at the end of the movie, we see that drawing on the wall of
yes.
the cafe. I don't remember him having that with him. So I don't know how that ended up at the time of Eve. Just a slight continuity issue, nitpick. It was mostly just put there for, you know, emotional reasons.
Yeah.
To remind you of Cadoran. Also, speaking of the artwork, that first shot where we see Tex, I love that shot because he actually looks sad.
Oh, yeah.
They just angle it perfectly because his face doesn't necessarily look sad to begin with. It doesn't look all that human.
Tex is a weird looking motherfucker, though. I mean, he's very similar to the present day robots, actually. That white, you know,
Asimov look, and all that.
The ones with like the curved head, kind of.
Yeah.
But the eyes. The eyes are very strange on Tex.
Yeah. And then they just angle him and you know, draw him perfectly in that opening scene where he actually just looks horribly depressed.
Yeah, you see a couple of cut shots of him in that pose.
Up until that point in the movie, yeah, before then.
Yeah.
And at that point, you'd kind of just assume that this is a robot that Misaki had when he was young and that they don't have anymore. But then
yeah.
There's this big reveal when he returns home and, you know, says, I'm home, and then you see that shot of Tex. Now, Misaki Sr.'s TV interview, a little after that, his bullshit that he was spouting really reminded me of a lot of, you know, right-wingers who, you know, try to argue about why, you know, they don't support marriage equality. Probably a lot of what was spouted by the probably right-wing, or at least those who were against civil rights back in the 60s. Probably a lot of the same stuff.
Well, it's always about the fear of where is this going to go to then?
Exactly. It's the slippery slope argument. And that's what a lot of those TV adverts for, I just turned British for some reason, advertisements for the ethics committee were. They showed a tomato, you know, squished with gears coming out of it, and then a human hand picking it up, saying, isn't this better? And then they show a couple falling off of a cliff and something along the lines of, you know, that's not the right thing to do, implying that you even shouldn't be with robots. So they're really heavy-handed, you know, hammering in, you know, they're less than us. And now we get to the ending scene. And I like that they verbalized Misaki's thought process.
What, the...
And he's trying to figure out why Tex is finally talking.
Oh,
and he's working
yeah.
through the laws and figuring out, I must be in danger.
Is this the first movie we've done that actually has, a what have we learned scene in it?
Did it have a what have we learned scene? Yeah, kind of.
Yes, it did. It very much did. I don't think we've had a movie out of our own list that actually has. I mean, we always make fun of it. I'm like, what?
I guess they kind of had that at the end with Rikuo. Although, I still don't know how I feel about his Daniel Stern moment.
Like, there's the music and everything, and, I mean, it is definitely a, you know,
oh, yeah.
they're equal, you know, we can treat them, like,
yeah,
better.
It's a nice wrap-up with a bow moment, yeah.
Yeah.
Although, before that, in that scene with Misaki and Tex, I was thinking that whole time, how did he get in the coffee shop?
I hadn't thought of that until they pointed it out.
I was wondering through that whole scene, how did this robot who is on wheels get into this cafe that's down a flight of stairs?
Which, I mean, thankfully they didn't do the record scratch sound effect because they're still in the What Have We Learned music and
yep.
they're turning to go. And like, wait, how did
they
you get
just
in here?
Caught the music. And I think I'm probably more likely to think about something like that. I periodically
Whoever.
Will point
right.
this out. I'm in a wheelchair, for those who don't know. So that's something that I'm more likely to figure out, to notice. But the whole scene, I'm wondering how Tex got in the cafe. And they're about to leave, and they've got the nice music, and it's the happy ending, and suddenly they get to the stairs. Tex bumps into them, and Misaki says, "Wait, how'd you get in here?" And two of the patrons point out that they carried him in, and that killed me because that entire scene I was wondering that question.
Because it's just one giant staircase to get down.
Because they need a moment to turn the halos back on after they leave.
Yeah.
They can't turn them off in public, so they need a little barrier between the time of Eve and the outside world. Now, what did you think about Rikuo going all Daniel Stern at the end?
I think this movie did lack in the payoff at the end, you know? I mean, that just doesn't do it, the whole, yeah, but that's another story kind of thing.
Well, that wasn't really the payoff. The payoff was the scene with Dr. Ashimori.
Right.
Or the scene with Shiotsuki at the end, depending on how you want to look at it.
Yeah.
The payoff for the future of the Time of Eve was the Ashimori scene, where she basically says, Shiotsuki set this up so that this place would, can basically, it can never legally be shut down. Because
Yeah.
the one rule is actually coded somehow, so it can't be contravened in any way.
And what do they mean by retained?
I don't know. I was wondering about that myself. I've
Because they
never
go
quite.
down the list of places that are closed, and then there were places that I'm not remember what the word they used for the other ones,
But you get to Time of Eve and it said retain.
yeah, in a different color from everything else.
And either it meant keep it open, let it go, or keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
I kind of took it as keep an eye on it, even though
That's what I did
Ashimori
too.
seemed sympathetic. It was established at one point that she was part of that terrorist group that led to the ethics community. She may have been involved in the Tokisaki incident.
Yeah.
Actually, Shotsuki flat out says she was. She
Yeah.
was the one who attacked the robot. So I kind of got the impression that she had a change of heart in the intervening years and is now defending the Time of Eve. But that retain kind of flies in the face of that a bit.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, the coffee shop in this was first seen in another one of, and I'm going to try to say this guy's name, the director and writer, Yasuhiro Yoshihiro, one of his earlier shorts called Aquatic Language. You see a very early version of the Time of Eve.
So was it just like an outside version of it?
Well, no, it was inside. It's also set in a coffee shop, and it looks a lot like the Time of Eve, but
Yeah.
they kind of, he's built it up since then. He added to what we saw in Aquatic Language. There's also a reference to Asimov's laws and a robot in Aquatic Language, so it's kind of the precursor to Time of Eve, even though it has a completely different point. All right, so I think that brings us to sequels and remakes.
Yes.
This would actually be very easy to do on stage, and I think I would like to see that.
Stage, not just a live action.
Well, no. I have a problem with a live action anime because they tend to screw it up for one thing. I just found out Akira is back on. I'm not happy about that. I was considering putting it in the news, but it's just going to be me bitching about it.
You
So,
get Shyamalan, it's gold, man.
I can laugh at that now. Enough time has passed. But there's really not much to this movie. It is basically a one act.
Yeah, it's. I don't think
90% of it
this.
is set in the coffee house.
I don't think this would work as a live movie because of the, just the fantasy aspect of it. You know, it's not a realistic movie, and it's not supposed to be
No.
either.
I think it would work on stage, though.
But yeah, I think you're right.
I would love to see just the idea of an anime going to the stage. It's just an interesting proposition. All right, so on to brains.
On to brains.
Because there haven't been any sequels and, remake, or remakes I'd love to see
But
against
they
stage.
left the door open for the sequels.
Well, we have the intervening years, and I have my thoughts about that, my headcanon, but we're never going to see it. There's
It's
no
been
point to it.
5 years now.
There's really no point to continue to going back to look at the Time of Eve.
Yeah.
It's just going to continue on. Or there's going to be another one. There's really no story there. Anyway, on to brains.
On to brains.
Like I've said, this is the third time I've seen the movies, and I've seen the OVA as well, the series. I gotta go five. I love it. It's not perfect, but it just, I think for me, it hits a chord that I really relate to because, again, I look different. So It hits a nerve for me, and I love it.
It's very hypnotic. It's I mean, I couldn't watch this in one sitting because of time restraints, but I really wish I could have just kept going last night. Yeah, you definitely have to see it once. I'm going for
All right, and what have we learned?
a robot can cry.
And I learned that sometimes you want to go where nobody knows what you are. And I also learned that coffee will kill us all. It's a quote from
I
me.
hope not.
All right, so until next time, we'll be reviewing Sharknado 2, the second one. And interesting timing on that one, because the third one will be out soon.
Yeah, I think we're just a bit behind, but
Yeah,
I
next
think
month. I think
it's.
they come out every July.
Yeah, I think so too.
Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course, the episode itself, which you're already listening to. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and YouTube. Links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. You also find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review. I think we figured out last week that it's up through Horns, which is not quite 2 months away.
252.
What is
Yeah,
it,
that's gonna.
252?
Yeah, that's probably gonna be at least. That's probably like the end of the summer,
Possibly, yeah.
because
Oh, because we got a
take a
couple
week
weeks off
off.
in July. That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
We're coming up to our usual 2 week off in 2 weeks off in July. So yeah, it might be August by the time we get to that.
Yeah.
You also find the request form. If you've got a movie you'd like to hear us review, please leave it on the request form. We'll get to it. And of course, the recommendations list. I'm so happy this made it to the rec list. I was worried for a while there.
Well, it was annoying me that I'm like, take, of course we're going to be interacting inappropriately with androids.
Well,
That's what we do.
yeah. Every
But
techno.
then I got it, the whole ring, over the head, collar symmetry. I mean, it was obvious what they were doing.
And I made that point in the last anime hangout that I do an anime show on YouTube as well, and I made that point. We were talking about a different anime, and every technology starts off as porn. I mean, that's well
Exactly.
established. That's what drives technology. That's why we have Blu-ray instead of HD DVD. That's why we had VHS instead of Beta.
There are two things that move this country: porn and the military.
Yeah.
That's it.
To quote Steve from Coupling, we have turned the internet into an international database of naked bottoms.
Of course.
Gotta watch that show again sometime soon.
Yeah, I should.
You can email us, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 414-368 ZTO1, or for the alphanumerically challenged, 414-368-9861. Nothing clever this time?
Oh, I got nothing left. Just waiting for the NyQuil to kick in.
Okay. Of course, as always, remember that you will always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee, and until next time, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There
are.
you are.
That exchange was complicated and inconclusive.
So what have we learned? Oh. All right, on to brain.
On the braid.
I skip. I say yeah.